The new musket-sized flintlocks already being issued to the Coruscantian army might still be smoothbores, but they were going to fire a lot faster and be a lot handier than the old-style matchlocks. Fortunately, the Coruscantians had run into a bottleneck producing the smaller, lighter wooden stocks for the converted weapons, but they were still going to have a lot more of them available than Merlin and Caleb had hoped. The gun crews had been busy while he pondered the gloomy implication of the field carronade's existence and the new muskets. They'd made full use of the concept of bagged charges as well, he observed. They were still using meal powder, at least. Mergen's notes clearly hadn't told them how corned powder was made, which meant it was weaker, weight for weight, and that even the individually bagged charges had a tendency to separate into their constituent ingredients if they were carried very far. But while that was all well and good, they'd still improved their artillery's rate of fire considerably. And that's another place where their shorter gun tubes are going to help them, Merlin reflected. Their gunners are going to be able to fire more rapidly than ours can, which means that shoe, at least, is going to be on the other foot, and pinching the hell out of our toes at that. The distant flag down by the artillery waved once again, and then the guns boomed. The flat, hard, dull concussion pounded at the witnesses' ears, their horses twitched under them at the unfamiliar noise, and the weapons' shorter barrels made their muzzle flashes even more impressive. Perfectly round, dirty white smoke rings drifted off on the gentle breeze, and the gun's round shot smashed into the waiting targets with terrific force. Baron Seamount favored straw-stuffed mannequins as demonstration targets, and Merlin had always found the clouds of flying golden hay highly, even gruesomely, effective for making his point. Earl Anvil Rock, on the other hand, favored casks of water, and the huge, sun-shot spray patterns as the round shot tore through the barrel staves were spectacular. So was the rate of fire the gunners demonstrated as they moved through the routine of serving their pieces as smoothly and efficiently as any Carizian gun crew. I do wish the other side could be composed solely of idiots, Merlin thought glumly, watching the nascent Coruscantian field artillery demonstrate its paces for Prince Hector. Those things are going to be copper-plated bitches to deal with, especially in any sort of close terrain. And given how much less metal there is in each carronade, their foundries can turn out more of them, and faster, in the time they've got. In the long run, he felt confident, Seamount's longer field guns ought to be able to master their shorter-ranged Coruscantian counterparts. But the long run wasn't something he especially wanted to rely upon, not when the short term was going to be punctuated with Carizian bodies. At least the lack of any Coruscantian experimentation with rifles meant Carizian infantry was going to retain a major advantage in any sort of ranged combat. That alone ought to pretty much guarantee tactical superiority on the battlefield. On the other hand, the French rifles were superior to the Prussians in the Franco-Prussian War, and that didn't keep the Prussian artillery from kicking the French army's ass. Now there's a cheerful thought, Merlin. He grimaced, continuing to watch the demonstration play out across the backs of his eyelids as he sat in his darkened room. Caleb wasn't going to be happy to hear about this, he decided, but that could have its good points as well. Now that Narmon was no longer the enemy, the question as to what constituted the next natural strategic objective for Carus had been drastically simplified. Now, watching the new weapons Hector was putting into the field, it was obvious to Merlin that it was time to accelerate their timetable for the invasion of Coruscant. I just hope we can accelerate it enough, he thought.